Words from the world.
Palabras del mundo.
Tigurewin somadal.
Les paroles du monde.
كلماتٌ من العالم.
Benvenuti e benvenute a tutti e tutte a una nuova puntata del podcast Words from the World della scuola di italiano libera e gratuita Libera la parola. Oggi è una puntata speciale. Con noi Amro, Majid e Yazid, tre studenti sudanesi che fanno parte della grande famiglia di Libera la parola. Con loro cercheremo di capire meglio la situazione attuale del Sudan, approfondendo il contesto storico e geopolitico del paese, con l'obiettivo di fare maggiore chiarezza attraverso il punto di vista di chi sta vivendo in prima persona questa situazione al di fuori della narrazione occidentale. La puntata sarà in inglese in forma di intervista. Buon ascolto!
Throughout this episode, we will make an effort to gain a better understanding of the current situation in Sudan. But before jumping into the details of what's happening in Sudan, we believe it would be helpful to provide a brief introduction to Sudan.
First of all, thank you for having us here to speak about our country, which is one of the massive unknown in the continent and one of the most hidden gems in Africa. The thing is, most of the people doesn't know about the history of Sudan, or the location or anything about Sudan. So I'll give a brief introduction about the history of Sudan, which is a country rich with ancient history, starting from the Kush Kingdom, which is one of the most powerful kingdoms in the area, around 800 before Christ, and what the thing is make it huge power at that moment. When you see now, more than 200 pyramids built in the region where the kingdom was before. Also, if I talk about the modern history of Sudan, after the independence from the British Kingdom, we will just see a conflict, civil wars, unstable situation, until the most significant action, which is the uprising in 2019. So according personal greeds some people need to reach the power at different reasons. But for now, let me continue about the location of Sudan, which is make it huge problem for, I think, huge problem for Sudanese for themselves, because when you be a country with seven neighbors now, but nine neighbors before Sudan, South Sudan seceded, when you have this much of neighbors, it makes problems, it makes an instability in the borders, and also when you have that huge amount of resource and when you be one of the most largest countries in the continent, also cause problems. So when you have for example the river Nile, which is significant features in the country and which is the main resource for hydroelectric power, and there is a group of countries they call themselves River Nile group. So which is Egypt, Ethiopia, and Sudan, South Sudan, and Uganda. and there is another country, but I don't remember. So, Kenya. So, so like when you have also like this group, like share this huge resources, like that caused some conflicts. Like now there is conflicts between Ethiopia and Eritrea because like a dams that built now in Ethiopia, and which is make Sudan involved on this, and also like as I said, the problems of the borders and the conflict on the borders, like the problem of it's not a problem, but the diversity of the races in that places, like and that region, makes like Sudan a magnet for the problems and for the conflicts. So like in the regions of the Sudan, like on the north, you will find like it's almost deserts, and in the east and west, like there were too many like mineral resources, like beside the water resources, like the forests and all this stuff. You can find gold, like which is now one of the main problems. Like we will talk about how gold's involved on this like later on. And this general overview not really like give a sight about Sudan, but it's just a small thing. Like if we want to talk about the history, the location, the geography of Sudan, like we need a lot, but our main target now, like to see what's happening in Sudan right now.
Do you believe that the current situation is linked to the past, both politically and demographically?
At the beginning, I want to thank you. It's my pleasure to be part of Words from the World podcast. So I will try to answer the question. And of course, like as a general answer, yes, of course, it's connected and linked all together. But to understand that, I want to give like a brief summary of the political background of Sudan. So as my friend Yazid mentioned, like we got our independence in 1956. So after the independence, Sudan had a small period of a civilian rule for like almost 2 years, until a military coup led by General Ibrahim Aboud in 1958 established a military rule. Civilian rule was restored in 1964 after a mass protest and a general strike. However, in 1969, another military coup led by Colonel Jafar Nimeiri overthrew the government and established as a dictatorship. The same dictatorship in 1983 imposed Islamic law across the country, which sparked a civil war with the southern part and southern Sudanese rebels who rejected the Islamic rule. The South Sudanese problem, it's like a very complex and long conflict, but I don't think like there is a time to go through it all. So let's just continue with the time flow of the military coups and the civilian rule. In 1986, another massive protest throughout the country against the military rule and the dictatorship forced the ruler to step down, and led to a transitional period of 1 year, followed by elections and a civilian rule. But again, and unfortunately, in 1989, General Omar al-Bashir led a military coup that toppled the civilian power and established military rule, which lasted for 30 years this time. As a continuing of the phenomena that now we are calling it as the evil cycle, which is like civilian rule, erupted by a military coup, then a revolution led to a civilian rule, then again a military coup, and so on. So like we have in total like three, like not counting the ones in the previous 4 years, we have like three successful military coups and three successful revolutions. Anyway, In 2003, and during the rule of the ex-regime of Omar al-Bashir, rebel groups in Darfur rose up against the government, leading to a brutal conflict that is widely regarded as a genocide, in which the ex-president himself convinced that they killed more than 500,000 civilians just in Darfur, which is the west region of Sudan. Meanwhile, and during all these governments since the independence, there was a civil war, as I mentioned, in South Sudan. Actually, the civil war even started before the independence because of the inequality and marginalization, which considered the longest civil war in the recent history. In 2005, a peace agreement was signed between the central government and the rebels in South Sudan, which led to a referendum, which is one of the part of the agreement, a referendum that held in 2011 to make the South Sudanese to decide whether to be a part of Sudan as one country or to take their independence and separate. The referendum led to a splitting the country into two countries, giving the birth to the newest country in the world in 2011 under the name of South Sudan. So like, now when we're mentioning like South Sudan, it's another country, and Sudan is a country, like after 2011. But also there was like, this is the conflict in the south part of Sudan, which is like led to the separation or like independence, as they called. In 2003, as I mentioned, there was another conflict in the west part of Sudan. Even after like the South Sudanese got their independence, the country didn't go through like a stable situation, let's say, because like we were under like a dictatorship. After a massive protest across the country in 2019, Omar al-Bashir regime, who was like the dictatorship, the general in the army, the regime was overthrown, and a transitional government was established with an agreement to share the power between the military personnel and civilians. So there was like a kind of a transitional period for like 2 or 3 years, and after that like they're gonna make elections. But also this transitional period got interrupted by the military personnel themselves, like in the power, who did a military coup in October 2021, like 1.5 years from now, and they arrested the civilian prime minister and his cabinet and all the civilian sovereign council members. In the previous months, and after mass protest all around the country since day one of the coup, which pushed the military personnel to accept an agreement with some civilian parties that's supposed to be like, this agreement supposed to be signed like last April, just days before the war started, let's say, or the conflict. But it seems that like the military personnel wasn't like, they were manipulating the like the civilians that they agree to sign the agreement, but like it was very obvious that they didn't like really wanted to sign it. That's why like they started the war, which we will go like in details in the coming like time.
As far as our understanding goes, an agreement was supposed to be signed in April, but suddenly a war erupted. Is the ongoing conflict between the parties involved in the agreement, or is it being fueled by external groups who are opposed to it? Or alternatively, are the groups in power themselves responsible for the conflict? Amro, can you explain us a little bit?
So I guess like my friends say thank you for giving us this opportunity to speak about the situation in Sudan. But maybe for answering your question, we should like try to understand more the two sides of the war. So we need to have a look at the agreement and the assignments that happened during the ongoing revolution movement since 2018. In 2019, when the Peaceful Revolution Movement succeeded to topple the regime and to move the head of the dictator system we had, for about more than 30 years. An agreement was made between the military sector of the government, which contained the military council, which was like a leftovers from the previous regime, and also containing the both RSF groups and representative of a part of the revolutionary mass who was leading the protest in the streets at that time. It was also containing majority of the political parties, workers' associations, resistance committees, and youth groups who was like technically in the streets every day marching against the last dictatorship. This agreement brings a new government with a civilian prime minister to take control of a 2 to 3 years transitional period until reaching an election by the end of this transitional period. The actual control of the power was under a sovereign council, which consists of SAF and the RSF, Rapid Supported Leaders, which is are now the two parts of the war, and also part of the civilian community. In 2021, as they mentioned before, the military part made a coup and stopped the transitional period and cancelled the last agreement. After that, in 2023, there was supposed to be a new agreement between the military sector of the government, which is the military council, that contains also the two groups that are fighting now, SAF, Sudanese Armed Forces, and RSF, Rapid Support Forces, and part of the political parties, which kinda represent the civilian part. One of the main details in that agreement was supposed to be how to merge all the different armed groups in Sudan, including RSF, and the tribals also from Darfur, but excluding two groups of that tribes that didn't agree to join this agreement, but agreed to stop any fights activities from the last from the revolution in 2019. The two parts were not agreed on some details about merging the militia and the RSF into the army, into one army, and both of them are was supported by external groups and external countries also, like the RSF and the Sudanese Armed Force.
How did the country end up with the multiple official militaries, and how did it lead to them fighting against each other? Do you want to explain?
Conflicts, and also because the political instability, like there is too many reasons like lead to them to have like army and too many, I will say, militias and armed group. Like, for example, there is a various rebel groups which is armed by external supporters, neighbors, and like for and also political parties, like for seeking for the power. For example, during the conflict in Darfur, like the government create a force, like which is now known by RSF, Rapid Support Forces, like to fight against the rebel groups, like those people like calling for like equality, like therefore, like in the Western Sudan, and like from I don't know, like you can say from when we gain our independence, like those areas are like marginalized. They don't have any like good health system. There is no like any good infrastructure. So like they are try, like, and even in the mean of powers, like they don't have any like rules or award like on the government. So they decide to be like, you know, yeah, to fight against the central government, you know. But that leads to more conflict and civil war. Like for now, like there is armed groups in Darfur, armed groups in the Western Sudan, and like as Amru said, like they stop after like the uprising, but still they have armed, like they have a good forces, like and like something like you can't expect anything from them. Like for now, like the RSF said that we will bring the democracy, but they are, some people consider them as a militias, you know, like you can't bring democracy with guns, you know. It's it's really complex, like when you talk about like the situation right now in Sudan. So like now we have like more than, I don't know, 5 maybe 6 armed groups. So after this war, if we hope to finish as soon as possible, like between, like you can say now the main, like the armed force group and the like SAF, like which is the Sudanese armed force, to end as soon as possible, to settle down and see like which the other armed group they will come and like do such an agreement with the Sudanese armed force or no. But for now, like it's like power conflict between RSF and Sudanese armed force, and like we hope like everything will end soon. And it's complex, it's really complex.
Majid, what is the reason for the Rapid Support Forces, RSF, not being a formal part of the Sudanese army, and what is behind the current conflict involving them?
Okay, well, it is a very like complex, and actually all the situation in Sudan is very complex, but like the RSF, the Rapid Support Forces, it's one of the most complex things in Sudan now, because it's not just like something internally, because a lot of other let's say parties or like international communities are involved in this. I think Yazid already gave like a small summary of how they are created, because like they were created during the conflict in Darfur to support the government, or like let's say the national army, to fight against the rebels. But unfortunately, like they are tribes, and they started under the name of Janjaweed, which can be translated to a devil who on a top of a horse, because they used to be like to use horses, and they were like kind of like they are stealing from the people, but not just stealing, like they kill and steal. So they already have like kind of guns and weapons, and that area, it was kind of out of the control of the government, because like the conflicts in Darfur. So they used the situation to steal and kill the civilians in Darfur. So the people there like call them like Janjaweed, which is like a devil who's on the top of a horse, because like they don't have any mercy. They just kill and take whatever you have. Even the people there like are not so rich, let's say, like they can kill you for let's say $1, like less than $1, like for water, or like for a donkey, or like a cow, or like whatever you have, and not kill you only, but kill all the family, all the village, or this, like they attacked the village, destroyed it all, burned it all. And we have to mention that like in Darfur, like they use in the small village, they use like hands, which is like made of sticks, like wooden things, so it's very easy to be burned. So like a small spark like can burn all the village. So they used to do this and steal all the things, and they don't care about the people or anything. So anyway, they made a lot of genocide in Darfur. So unfortunately, the government used them to support them to fight against the rebels, because they think like they already kind of well prepared to this kind of wars. And after some time, like they officially, let's say, involve them in the constitution and give them, let's say, an official role in Sudan. And to cover the genocide and all the things, the bad things that they did, they tried to convince the international community by playing the paper of the card of immigrants. And this is a very interesting topic, like to the people from out Sudan, like to know they like to answer to the international community. The government say like those forces are helping us to stop the immigrants from going to Europe, especially from the Horn Africa, like Ethiopia, Eritrea, and like Kenya, Sudan, and also Chad, because they pass through Sudan. And as we mentioned, like Sudan has a very big, like it's a very big in size. So all these immigrants, like not all, like but the majority of the immigrants from Africa, especially the east part, like pass through Sudan. Under the table, not under the table, there was like a very interesting topic called like Khartoum process. It's an agreement signed between the Sudanese government and other like African governments and the European Union. And it's like, it's official thing, like it's called Khartoum process. Khartoum is the capital of Sudan, the name of the capital. So this agreement is kind of like to stop the immigrants, but in paper, is to like to improve the lives of these immigrants in their countries, to stop them to do not come to Europe. But in reality, they just kill them on the way. This is the thing, like kind of we called it like there is a name, it's called NIMBY, not in my backyard. So instead of NIMBY is like a phrase that used like not in my backyard, not in Sudan, like in general. So like instead of doing the bad stuff in like near to you, you put it away from you. So instead of, because like the human rights and all this are focused on Italy or like Spain or like all or Germany, like if they do anything to the immigrants, it will be in the media like the second moment, like the next moment. But if you do it like in a very far place, like in Sudan, like let's say in dark, no one will take care, like will mention it or take care of it. So yeah, they in paper they paid like $150 million euros to these like forces or to the government in the name of like improving the life of the immigrants and make some projects in their countries. But it, like a lot of reports says that it's just like to force them more and to train them more to stop those immigrants in the Sahara like desert. And a lot of also reports like says that like they just kill them, like they kill their own people so they would not like stop to kill others, like so yeah, this is the rapid RSF, the rapid support forces. And also after the conflict, it's also this group, these forces like are connected directly to the conflict between in the Middle East between Saudi Arabia, Emirates, and Yemen. Because now the people who are fighting in Yemen against the Houthi group, like the other party who was supported by Iran, are 100% Sudanese, which from those also militia, like the Saudi Arabia and especially Emirates, like pays them to fight on behalf of them in Yemen. And also they joined the fight in Libya with the general called Haftar, who also like supported by Emirates. So like the rapid support forces is like kind of like a loop that has no end. And lastly but not least, they are also directly connected to the conflict happening now in Ukraine, the war between Russia and Ukraine, and Wagner group especially trained them like in the previous years. And now there are some reports says that Wagner groups Wagner Group personnel are in Sudan now, supporting them and giving them training. And the main thing of this militia, like if we want to speak about their where they get the fund and becoming very huge, like actually now they are parallel to the national forces, like in some parts, like they are more powerful than the in terms of weapons than the Sudanese army itself, but they just don't have like air forces. But in other things, like they are big as the national forces because of all these funds, like from the European Union, from Emirates, from Libya, from Russia. Actually, they don't get fund, but the opposite, because they are controlling a lot of gold mining in Sudan. So like even the one of the first, like let's say official personnel who visited Russia after the war started internationally, not only in Africa, is Hemeti, who is the leader of this group. And he, a lot of reports said like he took with him a lot of like tons of gold to support the Russian economy. And there is a report like says that also like one of the reasons that is still now Russia is like not get affected that much by all the bans that the West did to it is because of like years ago or months ago before the war, they imported a lot of gold from Sudan through this militia in return of like training them and give them like weapons and Wagner groups. So like RSF, like the Rapid Support Forces, is a big topic that I think like it needs even like a special episode like to talk about it, because like it's very connected. And like lastly, I want to mention that like because we are in Italy, one of the latest interviews with this the leader of the military, who's called Hemeti, with the BBC, they asked him like if you have any support now from any like international community or countries. And he mentioned at the beginning he answered no, I don't have any, like we are official, and because they are officially in the constitution of Sudan, but in a very, let's say, a unique way, like they are a part of the nation, the army, but they are not part of the national part. Like the phrase of the in the constitution is very unclear. But anyway, he said like we just take our funds from the like from the country as any other government authority. But he then like replied, oh no, I remember, we the only country that support us is Italy. He mentioned it by name. and they give us like training to our people, to our like forces, to stop the immigrants in Italy, and this was like 8 months ago. So yeah, like this Rapid Forces like has a lot of things to say and to say about, and a lot of reports. But in general, like to conclude, like that why they are now big as the or like powerful as much as the national army in Sudan.
So now that we have established a solid understanding of Sudan history and current political landscape, we can turn our attention to the main question. What is happening in Sudan at present?
On the last, before 3 weeks, I think 15th of April, like the conflict started between the Rapid Support Forces, Sudanese army. Like it's actually like a battle between the two generals, Hemeti and Borhan, which they are like the leaders of the council, the transition council. And it's simply it's a battle for the power. Like there were tension before, like I don't know, on the last month, Marawi Airport, and which is also army base for the Sudanese forces, and also there were training between the Egyptian forces and air forces and Sudanese air forces for, I don't know, 3 years. And on the media, they are like, there is nothing like clear, like the two sides like say different thing. Like, for example, the General Burhan said like Hemeti trying to like to take the lead. He's not like thinking about any democracy. He doesn't think about anything. He just won't take the power. On contrary, like General, I will not say General Hemeti also saying the same, you know, like there is nothing true. But the thing is, like, the civilians now under undershoot, like there were battle like in Khartoum, in Al Ubayid, which is there are two main cities in Sudan: Khartoum, Ubayid, also on Marwi, I think. Yeah, Marwi, but which like
the military base.
Yeah, the military base in Marwi, but for now, like, the army now control the base in Marwi, and the conflict, I think stopped in Marwi. But for Al Ubayid and Khartoum, like is still like, especially in the center of Khartoum, like now Khartoum, it's like a ghost city, like literally, like there is no like internet connection, there is no electricity, and there is no water. Like for me, and also Amro, and also Majid, like our all families right now in Khartoum, like it has been like 5 days there is no electricity. I couldn't like speak to my family during the like the shortage of all the resources, and it just because like two men like need the power, like, and for our generation, like we have been through too many things, like civil wars, uprisings, conflicts, and military coups. Like the worst, like worst generation, like, came to the Sudan. Like, I don't know, it's our luck, or like it's our fate. Like for us, we just like need, we just think about, like, you know, just 5 years of stability in our country, just not more than 5 years, just a simple period of stability. So like, I don't know, you know, what do you feel, Majid?
Okay, yeah, actually I agreed on all what he said, but also I want to add, like, to make it more clear, I think, like, to the people from outside Sudan cannot like digest all these things together, because it's a lot of information and a lot of conflicts. So the thing is, the two groups like who are fighting now, like the army, the Sudanese army, and the Rapid Support Forces, like, they both were like kind of the best couple ever, like, in the previous, let's say, 15 years, like, since the Rapid Forces like created, because like it was created by the Sudanese army itself. And now even Burhan, who is like the leader of the Sudanese army, he was like the supervisor of making this militia, let's say, during the conflict in Darfur, like, but and until like October 2021, like 1 year from now, they did the military coup together, like, against the civil government, or the civil party. So they were like in a honeymoon all these, let's say, this period. But what happened, like, you know, when you like when you have too many enemies, like you be part together against these enemies, but when you become like the only two in the like in the, let's say in the pitch, you will start like to take, because no all both of them have has like his own interest to rule Sudan, so like they kick out all the others, and of course like no country can be ruled by two people and two, let's say, dictators, like not even like a normal people like or civilians. So a lot of people like was thinking that this war like sooner or later would happen, like it was just a matter of time until they kick out all the others. And taking into account, like as I mentioned before, like the rapid forces like got a lot of funds and like became very very big in terms of like in terms of forces and weapons and this. So of course, like the first thing that a dictatorship, like or a person with a dictatorship mentality, will think like to kick out the other person, and the same for the Burhan, the leader of the military, the Sudanese army. So, and also it's very important to mention that like the previous regime, like who settled like for 30 years, like they were deeply in all the like Sudanese, let's say, organization and authorities, like including the army itself. So all the generals, like the top generals in the army, are kind of like part of the ex-regime, even if they don't like announce it. Like of course they say in the media they supporting the revolution, which happened in 2019, but deeply they are a part of the regime, because like in the ex-regime, no one can reach a high position unless you are a part of the regime. Like it's happening in all the dictatorship, like Sudan is not like an exception. So yeah, like one of the reasons like of this war, it says that agreement that's supposed to be signed like in April will cut the way to the previous regime to come back to the rule. So that's why they accelerate, and there was a problem between, I want to add this, like there was a problem between the ex-regime and the rapid support forces. So they know if the rapid support forces like kind of sign this agreement with the army, there will not be a presence for the ex-regime. So they accelerate somehow the war, and they push the leaders in the Sudanese army to start the war against the rapid forces. But of course, I'm not saying that like the rapid forces are like angels or like they are good. Of course, they are militia. They kill like thousands of people in Darfur. But it's also like one of the theories that like why the war started very suddenly, just before the agreement gets signed.
You know what's funny? Like the both of them, like they claim like each one like support the ex-regime, Omar Bashir regime, like and it doesn't make sense. Like if you both like support the ex-regime, so why are you fighting? So it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and every like in every interview like or a call, like even during the war, like from the media, both of them like they call Burhan and he say like we started this war defending the democracy. They called Hemeti and he said the same, like we are in this war like to defend the democracy. But in reality, like anyone knows in Sudan, like regardless which parties you are supporting, anyone knows that Burhan and Hemeti are like, let's say, the bad guys in Sudan. But yeah, anyone in Sudan now has his own point of view, like which to support, because fortunately until now the war or like the fights are still just between the two groups. Like, so I don't think we can call it a civil war, because civilians until now like haven't involved in the fight itself. Like of course they got affected, like a lot of people displaced from Khartoum, the capital, moved to the other cities, which is like less, let's say, problematic. And also a lot of people like left Sudan to Ethiopia, which is in the eastern borders, and Egypt in north borders, and also Chad, which is in the eastern part. So like the numbers like are not now officially announced because like it's kind of a mess, but Egypt like 3 or 4 days ago announced that like they received more than 10,000 people from Sudan. Chad also more or less the same number. Ethiopia, as far as I know, I don't know any numbers, but yeah. And the civilians who got killed during this, let's say, stupid war, as we call it, now like the official like registered number are more than 600. But because the wars now are in the middle of this, the capital itself, like you can imagine like two very like forced groups are fighting in the middle of the capital, and the military, the army uses like air forces, so they bomb from top, like doesn't care about anything, and the rapid forces are like attacking from the anti-craft like weapons in the middle of, so a lot of dead bodies like cannot like be like registered. And every day like they discovered like just like some people were dying like 2-3 days 1 week ago, and the people like just discovered them. So these numbers are just like initial numbers, which like 600, more than 600 civilian got killed. And of course from the both parties no one knows, but it's more than thousands. Hemeti, the leader of the rapid support forces, like he said in one of the interviews, like in one base of them, like they have like 4,000 soldiers got killed by air force. So you can imagine like how many people. And unfortunately both sides are Sudanese, the soldiers are Sudanese, so we cannot support, like me personally, I'm speaking, I cannot support any one of these groups. So I'm just like hoping that this war is stopped, and then we can see what we gonna happen.
I also need to add something, like my friend said, it's like the situation is very complicated as we are trying to explain it, but maybe if we try to look from another perspective, that is looking at the war as a conflict between common interest. Like the main problem for my opinion is like all the people who have started this war between each other, they have common interest in Sudan, which is controlling the resources of Sudan. When they agree to disagree, as they said, it was like the main reason for me, what was the main reason for starting this kind of conflicts, because all the groups that are controlling have armed power and have weapons. So when they disagreed at the certain point, even they included the last regime groups, they started the war. Like if we try to take it more in a simple way than the complicated way, but it's all about who is controlling, who want to control the resources, and who want to control the people, and who want to control the government and all the authorities.
Up to this point, we have just talked about armies and paramilitaries and dictators, but we think that it's essential to also consider the opinions and demands of the Sudanese people when discussing the ongoing conflicts in the country. Amro, what do they think?
When we talk about the Sudanese people, we can say like most of the people who participate in the revolution in 2018 and 2019, as we said, like have a clear demand that were represented in the streets and during the movements with slogans and writings in the streets and going out to demand this kind of slogans. The main slogans like was freedom, peace, justice, revolution is the choice of the people. And also that the army and all armed groups and militia have to be excluded from the political and economical control in the country. Like another slogan which said, the power is for the people and the resources is for the people. Also, like we can say that the revolution period start moving and accelerating the awareness and the political debates from controlling the existing system into how to change the whole system, not only the individual people who takes control, and not only the leaders, which mainly like represent a minority, and we can say a high class with their historical privileges, like social privileges, religious privileges, military and weapons privileges, we can say, and also economical privileges, or maybe sometimes by getting supported, as we said, from outside the countries, other countries. For me, I guess like it's one of the main reason that people in power started this absurd world, as I said, so they can stop the spread of awareness and the spread of people thinking of why, you know, all the history of Sudan, we are just controlled by the same groups and same systems that use like weapons and making all about how to control and how to like they are just dictators. Also, a major part of the resistance committee around Sudan, I don't think we speak about resistance committee in the previous, but it was like mainly small groups of people who was going out together in the protest in the last regime before the dictatorship fall down, and they start to make their own small networks inside their hoods and their towns and their cities. So like a major part of this resistance committees around Sudan started to discuss about what we shall do to break this path of how Sudan is controlled by the same upper level minority groups who are just running after their own profits. To get one of the main opinions about how we can go out of these all problems, which you can say like power controlled by minority, the resistance committees around Sudan reached a point of discussion and started the revolutionary charter for establishing people's power, which I can say my own opinion is a different way to give the power, to take the power and give it to the people. This revolutionary charter speaks about how we can take control of the power and the country, the government, the resources, the institutes, by establishing local and small parliaments or councils elected by two ways and in two places, places of residence and working places, representing workers and civilian society in every community, town, city, locality, and then moving up level by level to reach the state level, and then to elect a national parliament or council who takes control of all the government and all the institutes, and would be definitely supported by the majority themselves, because it's coming from the bottom layer of the system, or let's say the hierarchy system that's working, to reach the top, not the opposite way of taking the power from top to down, which was applied in all the history of Sudan on all different systems that we used in Sudan, and I guess also all the history of countries that suffer and suffering until now from dictatorship or suffered before in their history. And also for me represent the main difference between real democracy and fake democracy.
I want to add like something because like as I mentioned at the beginning, like we are like facing this phenomena which we called it like the devil cycle, like like civilian military coup, like revolution again, military civilian rule. And so like let's say we reach to a point that we learned the lesson that in all previous like history we were like after the revolution we just changed the top of the rulers, like yes we just the people or like the upper level of the system. But unfortunately during the dictatorship, the regimes like try to to put their personnel in the deep way of the system. So even if you change the, like, the leaders, they are controlling somehow the country. That's why, like, it's led to a military coup after the civilian rule couldn't last for like permanently, let's say. So in the last revolution, I think one of the best thing that happened, which Amro mentioned, like the resistance committees, which tried to solve the problem from the bottom this time. Like, yes, we could take out the president, the previous president, but we believe that, like, it's not the end of the revolution. Like, we cannot call it a revolution, or like we just like, okay, wow, succeed, like, let's celebrate. So they started, like, the next day or even before, to establish this kind of system that Amro mentioned, like to find a way to reach a stable, permanent, let's say, democracy, or like representation of the real people of the country, not just changing the first layer and say, okay, yeah, like, it's good. A lot of work happened, like, during these 4 years, and actually I have to mention that Amro was one of these resistance committees members. Like, he involved more and more, like, a lot of people, like, gave all their times, like, and be literally free to these resistance committees. And even a lot of people lost their lives, because, like, even during the after the revolution and before the war, we couldn't say the Sudan was stable. Like, more than 200 or 300, I don't know the number, like 200 or 300 people died during the protests, because, like, since the revolution, the protests are going on. Because, you know, like, when you are, like, having any benefit from the previous regime, even just economically or, like, socially or anything, like, you will try to defend your benefits somehow, until reaching, like, to kill the people. So, like, a lot of people lost their lives during this resistant committee's protest. A lot of people, like, freed themselves totally. A lot of people, like, from out Sudan, like, let's say immigrants, like, returned to Sudan and quit their jobs and, like, all the things, like, to establish this system. And it's also very important to mention that, like, it is also could be a reason for, like, starting this war, because they reach, like, a very high level, let's say, of organization, and they started even to make kind of a constitution somehow, which, like, no one can refuse it, because only the people, the minorities who are in the like taking the privilege. But that's why they accelerate also, like, it could be also one of the reasons. Of course, like, there is no one reason of this war, but yeah, too many reasons. But this is important to mention. These resistance committees reached, like, a very late, like, discussions and constitution drafts to be made, and yeah, and then suddenly everything, like, just, like, got messed, and the war started. But hopefully, sooner or later, this war will stop. Hopefully it will be soon, but I think the people in the resistance committee are still, like, on their way, and now they are, like, making meetings, and they are going, like, in a parallel. Yes, they are, like demanding to stop the war, but they are also working on their way to finalize all the constitution drafts and, like, the system, and how Sudan to solve the problem this time from its roots. And we know that, like, when you solve the problem from its root, it will be more, like, expensive, let's say. But we fed up from this kind of, like, temporary, like, fake solutions, or, like, democracy for 2, 3 years or 4 years, and then, like, military coup. So I think the majority of the Sudanese who are involved in the protest and the revolution in 2019 believe that whatever they will give to this kind of work or revolution, even if it's not now in the streets but by work, they will go for it, even if they will give it their lives. And they already, some of them, a lot of them, like, already gave their lives for it.
مكتوب علي في القدر أشكي وأغني للبحر قصة سجين واقع مرير منقوشة في بطن الحجر نحن النضال نصنع سلام
قالين بيوقفنا الكجر أحلام سراب شالت صورة مصوفة في خل الدهر الراس سكت هيو العين بكت والقلب بالألم فتر كم من سؤال عطشان جواب داعي لله المطر كنت تبكي تحكي تشكي من ظروف كانت بتبكي كنت موكب كنت صبا وهزي جوف مليان محب كنت تبكي تحكي تشكي من ظروف كانت بتبكي كنت موكب كنت صبا وهزي جوف مليان تعبنا من معسول الكلام لينا منا الوعود والأوهام ما قالوا لك بعد النور ظلام ما قالوا لك الفات زمان درسنا يبو حرص جوز لا خسيان اشهال العين طلص جوز لا خسيان درسنا يبو حرص جوز لا خسيان اشهال العين طلص جوز لا خسيان كل عيد بنقول سعيد يا كيف الوصول كل عيد بمشاهد يا كرهنا الواقع من السلام بعيد يا كرهنا الشارع من الأمان بعيد يا قلنا سلمية لسنة الإسلام يا صفحة الوطن كل زول لابس لجام يا دي ما خيانة دي استهانة الإنسانية منفية في دولة النصارى دكتاتورية محمية بجندي واستمارة ما بنسكت نحن نارا وبنا كون شرارة نحن نارا وبنا كون شرارة
Okay, at the end, we want to say thank you for inviting us for this interesting discussion and information about Sudan. And we hope the situation will be better in Sudan and the war will stop every place in the world because like we know that the war is a tool to control people and to kill people and no one like from... I'm talking about the normal people like us get benefit from war. So thank you again.
I don't know what to add. Like, yeah, thank you again, like for having us, for giving us this opportunity. And I want to like finalize by a quote that says it's unknown actually who said it, but anyway, like don't stop. I think a lot of people in Sudan believed in that. And it says like, don't stop when you are tired, stop when you are done.
Thanks a lot for the very inspirational episode. I think it's very important that you found the courage to talk about these things, even if maybe, I don't know, they hurt you. And it's, I don't think it has been easy to talk about these things, but in Italy, if you don't say these things, no one says it, so it's very important to learn about these situations all over the world. And thank you very much.